Today, we head west to an absolutely perfect gem just outside downtown Chicago. It's the village of Bensonville. Come along as we explore the local sights and sounds on this edition of Your Hometown. Sponsored by Illinois Lottery, doing good and supporting Illinois communities, and by McDonald's.
All right, yeah, on the Wintrus Business Lunch, we continue on with Your Hometown. And every time I'm doing the Your Hometown series, we stop by the local McDonald's. And lately, I've been reminded many times of the One in Eight initiative, of how many people in America have worked under the golden arches at some point in the careers that excel from there. And Sam is joining us now, the manager at the Bensonville McDonald's that I stopped in a couple days ago. Sam, hello. Welcome to WGN.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm not just saying this. The location was gorgeous. It was well kept. It was great. And the food was wonderful. And great job to you and your team.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, the people that work there are amazing. I'm not surprised that you had a good experience there.
Yeah, for sure. How many years have you worked for McDonald's? Where did you start?
Yeah, so I've been working over a year now. I'm currently working as a supervisor, but started as a crew, worked my way from crew trainer, general manager, and now I'm a supervisor now.
Do you feel like McDonald's, the one you work at, and just the company as a whole, is that place where there is that upward mobility to grow your career?
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, I'll start with our owner operator first. I mean, Dennis Cha, you know, he's an owner operator who, you know, deeply cares about the stores, the staff, the employees. And, you know, you can see how much he cares just by looking at how well the store operate and how well the people are taken care of. And, you know, of course, you know, as a supervisor, you know, his expertise, his experience, you know, it's just an amazing resource for me.
Is that some place that you eventually want to go as owner-operator and move up from there?
Yes. I mean, I'm currently hoping to enter the next-gen program to become an owner-operator myself. And, you know, huge thanks to our owner-operator, Dennis Chami, because one cannot do this without the support of his or her owner-operator. So, yes, that's in my sight. So, yeah.
Working for it. I don't think I've ever shared this on the air. One of my best friends growing up and neighbors, his dad was up at corporate McDonald's pretty high in the ladder. I asked him once how he got started. He said, I started working as a crew member at a Bloomington, Illinois McDonald's. It's the only career I've ever worked for and ended up near the top of the entire food chain. And it's like, yeah, there is
that. Right.
If you work for it and want to work for it, there definitely are those opportunities. I wanted to mention diversity and inclusion because that's a big part of at least what I've been hearing about what McDonald's tries to do. I imagine that echoes in your sentiments too.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, you know, McDonald's is committed to becoming a better allies and leaders, as well as helping to empower the crew members and the communities. I mean, together with our owner operator, he's been owner operator for 15 years. He's co-president and founder of Asian McDonald's Owner Operators Association of the Chicago chapter. With him, we actively foster an inclusive environment, you know, throughout our restaurants and the AMOA organization. You know, as the members of the AAPI community, ourselves, you know, we are proud to have participated in events like Project Visions. We run Chinatown events not too long ago. And with organizations like China's Mutual Aid Association, China's American Service League, HANA, Hanwha, I mean, I can go on and on. But also, you know, participating in the upcoming events like Dragon Boat Race that's going to happen in Chinatown, CMAA's Dim Sum and Ben Sum running event, and also the China Summertown Fair, or Chinatown Summer Fair. So, you know, these iconic events serve as, you know, like vibrant showcases of cultural richness. And, you know, fostering unity, celebrating the diversity within our community.
I love that. Sam, before I let you go, I know you don't eat McDonald's every meal, no matter how much everyone would want you to say that over there. But, of course, you do other things. But when you do have a quick little bite at McDonald's, because it's there and you're going to have lunch or whatever, what is your go-to item?
Oh, man, it's so hard to choose. I must go with my go-to is Daily Double with just a light mayo. But also, I don't know if you've tried, but right now we have a new McFlurry going on called Grandma's McFlurry. It's butterscotch flavored with some cookie crumbles in there. Ooh. It's so good. Ooh. If you haven't tried it, you must go actually before it runs out because it's very, very popular right now.
Grandma's McFlurry. Okay, I love that. Sam, it's been good to catch up with you. You're a supervisor there at the McDonald's in Bensenville, your hometown. And Sam, we appreciate your time, okay?
Thank you so much.
Bree Fowler joins us now. He's always in the middle of all things technology, senior writer at CNET. Bree, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I read about this new conference, AI for Good. Boy, I hope so. I think we all are happy there's something that, like this exists, right?
Yeah, this is actually going on in Europe. It's an annual conference there for AI for Good, and it's hoping to kind of point businesses, consumers, and governments into ways to use the power of AI for good rather than, you know, all the things that we're worried about right now.
What's an example of AI for good? I think we're inundated with the bad things of it. There are some really great things that AI can do for us, right?
Yeah. One of the best things that AI can do that humans can't is data analysis, super, super fast with vast amounts of information. Being able to take all of the data to do things like, you know, analysis of the best way to grow crops or, you know, distribute food to countries that need it, things like that. But there's a lot that AI can do and a lot of stuff that we haven't even figured out just yet.
So what's the conference like? Like, is who's showing up, and is it like we all are going to promise, we swear, pinky swear, that we're going to do good for AI? Like, what is it going to feel like?
Yeah, there's a lot of top governmental officials from the EU that are there, but also, you know, people like OpenAI chief executive Sam Altman, who created ChatGPT. A lot of the other big tech heavyweights have people there too. And, you know, obviously they've got a vested interest in this. This is about positive press and things like that for them, because, you know, a lot of people are worried about what AI could do and what the long-term ramifications of it can be.
Let's just make sure the robots are there, too, agreeing to all the stipulations there. Okay, that's interesting. That'll be good. Let's talk about this arrest. I mean, this was a big deal, an international law enforcement team arresting a Chinese national. Why?
He apparently was running a massive botnet. U.S. governmental officials are saying that it is likely the largest botnet ever in the world.
Can you explain what a botnet is before we move forward? Because I have no idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So to create a botnet, you basically find vulnerabilities in all kinds of connected devices. I mean, it could be a PC, it could be a webcam, it could be, you know, anything that's connected to the internet. And small little, you know, unitasker type devices are great for this kind of thing. Basically using their processing power to create this net of bots. And the bots, you know, they do one thing, they'll bombard a website millions of times. Now you could use that to take a website down. You could use that to hack into a bank account because it can guess the passcode or the password just millions of times in a second. So, you know, the fact that he was running a botnet that infected, you know, just millions and millions of items, you know, they're saying that they're were, you know, something like $99 million in profits. Whoa. That he got from, because what this is it's a service. Like, you or I could rent this botnet to, you know, do whatever we wanted to do, whether it's, you know, get those Taylor Swift tickets real fast or, you know, hack into huge bank accounts.
Wait, so he set up the apparatus, essentially.
Yeah.
And then he was open for business. How do you want to use this? Do you want to use this to steal cryptocurrency? Do you want to buy all the tickets to this event so that we can resell them higher? Like, stuff like that, really?
Yeah, it's software as a service, just like anything else. And this goes on a lot, actually. What's interesting about this is that it was so big and that so much money was stolen. One of the biggest things that it was used for were filing unemployment claims, you know, especially during the pandemic. You know, using stolen identities. And they're saying that, you know, losses related to that were upwards of $5.9 billion alone.
Wow. One line in the story that I read, prosecutors say cyber criminals used the network of zombie residential computers Mm-hmm. Is that just computers that are just running, but no one's actually operating them? That's just using their processing power to do something, or am I way off?
Yeah, no, it's computers even that are being used. You know, it could be just a laptop at home that they found a vulnerability to get into. You know, computers are good multitaskers. One of those things you always worry about when your computer's slowing down, maybe someone else is using it too.
Well, I didn't worry about that till right now, but thank you, Brie. Okay, good point. So stop complaining to IT. Instead, just see if they're... How would you know if a bot took over? Would you ever know?
You know, it's really tough, and shutting down these types of botnets is really hard too, especially when you're not talking about a PC. You might be talking about a webcam. I remember a case of a botnet years ago. It was called Mirai, and it took down DNS providers, which basically, operate the highways that the internet runs on. So things like Netflix and Twitter just shut down, and people were baffled as to why. And it's one of those times when you realize what's going on behind the scenes to keep the internet going.
Yeah, we're talking with Brie Fowler, who is a senior reporter at CNET and unlocking new fears of mine today. This is exciting. let's wrap things up with Elon Musk, and he's in the AI game too.
Yeah, I mean, everything is about AI these days. Investors love AI, and that's why some of them are putting up $6 billion to fund development of AI intelligence by one of his companies. They want to, get products to market, speed up research, and things like that. And AI research and AI systems, they are expensive, and they take lots of money. But investors see this as a way to make big money, too. This is... when you go to tech conferences and things, it's just all about AI, and it's just raining private equity money in a lot of cases.
And he's got, Elon Musk, that is, has XAI. It's a company that's getting all this funding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I imagine Elon Musk gets so much heat these days and has people kind of partisanly split now, whether they love him or they hate him. But for the most part, are investors still buying into what he's selling?
Well, these guys are, at least. And there's lots of different companies that you can invest in with AI. And pretty much every company, whether you're talking about social media networks, or I write about cybersecurity a lot, those companies are all touting AI. Investors see AI and they just come running. It really doesn't matter what kind of field of tech you're in.
Yeah, it's interesting because not every company can rise to the top. Like NVIDIA obviously tops my mind now because of how well they perform. But like any new burgeoning industry, there's going to be winners, there's going to be losers, and that includes the investors too.
Yeah, and you have to remember, a lot of this is just marketing. Not like there's regulation over claims and things that they're saying, especially when you're talking about these tiny little startups. They can make claims. Whether they actually are around in a year remains to be seen. I mean, we've seen that with all kinds of emerging technology. So it'll be real interesting to see, where AI has led and who's still standing a year from now.
I love that. Brie, you gave me a lot to chew on. I don't like the taste of all of it, but it was all interesting. So thanks for joining us, okay?
Thanks for having me.
That's Brie Fowler of CNET's The Wintrust Business Lunch. Got two special guests here joining me in studio. We got the mayor of Wheaton, who I've met before, Mayor Cease. And we got Bob Hutchinson, the CEO of Wheaton Bank and Trust. Gentlemen, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thank you. See you.
Yeah, good to see you again. Last time we chatted was a different Your Hometown Day.
Yes.
And I was in downtown Wheaton. It was only about a month or so ago on a gorgeous day. And just to remind folks, you guys have done so much for businesses in the Wheaton area, especially in that downtown, huh?
Oh, very much so. As we indicated, I mean, we spent 4 years rebuilding the downtown, and that's been up and running the last 2 years. And it all comes together when the weather's nice. So the people are out. A day like today is perfect. People are out enjoying it.
And one thing you stressed to me, and it became very apparent walking through Wheaton, especially the downtown area, it's a mix of old businesses, it's a mix of new businesses, and a diverse range of businesses. And as a mayor, I imagine, boy, that's the sweet spot for businesses.
It absolutely is. To have variety is important. People have restaurants, we have restaurants. The services, we have the services. The retail is coming back. Even today, we had a grand opening of a Nordstrom's Rack in Donata East on the south side of town. So that's a good thing. We're starting to see you know, retailers that wouldn't come to a community like Wheaton 10 years ago, they're coming back. You know, we've had Nordstrom's, we've had Ann Taylor. There's been others that have come into the community, and it's great.
Not only the big names that you mentioned, so many small, great local businesses. And Bob, that's where you guys can come in, right? I mean, starting a small business is intimidating enough. We have a lot of small business owners who listen to our programs here on WGN, and it's almost like therapy when we talk about what it's like to run a small business. A lot of that's the capital, right?
Well, it sure is. And, you know, a bank is one of the economic engines that exist in a community. And, you know, we lend and we take deposits, but we do more than that. You know, we get involved, we coach, we mentor. If you're a small business, you know, you come into the bank and you don't really necessarily know how exactly you want to deploy capital or borrow money. And we work with businesses to, you know, figure out their plan, how they want to do it, and offer solutions to them so that they can, and, you know, thrive in a town like Wheaton or any town where there's a bank.
So many small businesses start as a side hustle for someone. They came up with this thing, and then it became more popular. They started doing it more. And then before they realize it, they're a little more successful than they even thought they would get to. Boy, they hadn't thought about the tax implications. They didn't know about the cash flow. Can they walk in the door, make an appointment, and you guys help out with that? Do you want them to have a set plan before they walk in? What are you looking for someone to come to Wheaton Bank and Trust?
Well, that's exactly what we run into. Someone's got a side hustle, and they find out they're pretty successful at it.
Yeah,
so,
right?
No, they come in and they meet with a banker. And the good thing about our bank is that, you know, we're relationship-driven, so you meet with a person, and you sit down, and they will guide you and say, you know what, here's, if you want some credit or you want to do this, here's a game plan on how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And here's some resources that you can use to help develop that plan. And that's the, you know, the difference between, you know, 1-800, you know, lend it yourself to working with a community bank like ours.
I know just that moment of walking in and talking with a banker would feel intimidating to me. So talk us through, like, it's a judgment-free zone, I guess you could say, right? You come in, even if you don't know how you got as big as you got, and you want to maybe do that next step, maybe you want to open up a small shop and go from just selling on the internet to a brick and mortar, someone will be there to talk with you, right?
Yeah, someone will be there to talk with you and then offer solutions like, you know, SBA loans.
Mm.
And even there are some grants out there for small businesses. And there's incubator programs out there that can work with business owners to help counsel them along the way. And we refer to all of those programs. We have a great suite of small business products that we can offer them to help get there.
I want to dive deeper into SBAs in a bit, but Mayor Cease, I imagine having a bank like Wheaton Bank and Trust there, that I'm sure some of these businesses that you know of, many of them work with, I mean, that's got to give a little bit of a backbone to what you guys do in the community, right?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things we talked about is this French market we have on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting there is people that started out as vendors at the French market moved on, built their own business in downtown Wheaton. They have storefronts in Wheaton. So you kind of just see the progression of the growth. You know, something that just started as a weekend hobby has grown into a full-time business.
Right.
We have one restaurant in particular that started out selling crepes at the French market and now is two storefronts in the city.
Really?
There's another shop that started out selling soap and is now a storefront. So, you know, those are the nice things to watch. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, how the community grows.
Yeah, and I'm not disparaging bigger banks or big box banks, as you would say, but having a local bank with local people that have lived in the community, that work in the community, I mean, that makes a difference too.
It makes a lot. And the important thing is, yes, they're the relationships, but they're involved in the community. You know, they're involved in the Lions Club. They're involved with the Park District. And, you know, let's say community involvement is a big plus, and you don't always see that with the, you know.
Yeah, right.
And
Bob,
national.
Exactly. Bob, maybe you can expand on that a little bit, the things that the bank likes to get involved in with the community.
Yeah, well, what we do is we try to take all of our people and get them involved in one organization, and that would be on a board, that'd be a volunteer, that would qualify as some sort of community service. And that's really important because a lot of my competitors, you know, they don't really care about being involved in the community, but we think it's important. It makes a difference. It drives relationships. And more importantly, you really find out what the needs are of the community. You find out, hey, you know, this business is struggling, or the park district could use some resources over here to plant some trees and things like that. So when you're doing that, your ear's to the ground in your community and you're able to make a bigger impact.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you're like, no, join a board, be a part of it, be a part of the conversations. And it's a great way to get new clients in too. Say, hey, we offer this, rightfully so. Here's what we've got for you too. It's smart. We got to take a break now, but we'll have more with these two gentlemen on what they're going on in Wheaton and everything about the banking and the small business loans that are available too. Let's get our Wintrust Business Minute. And here's Steve Grzanich with that.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Walgreens is lowering prices on more than 1,300 items for what it's calling a summer of savings promotion. The Deerfield-based pharmacy chain joins competitors like Target, Michaels, Walmart, and Amazon in announcing price cuts. The items range from vitamins to potato chips to swimming goggles. Walgreens Chief Customer Officer Tracy Brown says the move comes as customers struggle to purchase everyday essentials. The move by Walgreens and other retailers comes after years of soaring prices. Oberweis Dairy could soon have a new owner. A private equity firm based in Winnetka won the bidding for the assets of Oberweis. The dairy declared bankruptcy in April. The Hoffman family of companies is behind the winning bid via its investment arm, Osprey Capital. The bankruptcy court must give final approval. The investment firm owns more than 100 brands in 30 countries with a portfolio that includes wineries, charter cruise ships, and a minor league hockey team.
All right, Aaron McElroy's got our business of food.
Okay, go ahead, cheese that one.
Pizza Pete is a Frankfurt staple, known for serving up a good pie. But this story isn't about the pizza as much as the young woman behind the counter.
Thank you for calling Pizza Pete in Frankfurt. How can I help you?
Danielle Skopik's parents own the restaurant, but it's Danielle who's been the face out front for years.
All right, thanks. We'll see you soon.
Doing everything her parents were told would never happen.
They said, you know, the chances of her having a meaningful life are, you know, very slim, like less than 5%. And that, like, as a nurse, has stuck with me.
Her parents handed a prognosis they'll never forget.
Danielle was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at two, mm-hmm. around two.
The years passed with Danielle beating every odd. And while their family continued to grow, they never forgot the blessing.
Definitely, my parents are definitely an inspiration. I wouldn't be where I am today without them. Like, they, from day one, have pushed me to, like, be a good person and, like, independent. And, like, I couldn't thank them enough for that.
See, buying Pizza Pete didn't just give Danielle the head job, but gave her family a way to pay forward their own good fortune.
I mean, our goal is to give back as much as we can to the community, because, I don't know, it's kind of a cheesy thing.
Yes, he said it.
And I think it's important to give back to the community, especially when we've been blessed with so much, you know, personally. 24.
They call it Pizza for a Purpose, donating all their sales profits every Tuesday right back to the community through the VFW, the police and fire departments, the Knights of Columbus, the Mad Dog Strong Foundation.
They promote organ and tissue donation. That's probably my favorite one.
All that pizza adding up to serious amounts of donated dough.
So that's the goal every year, is to give at least $50,000.
Because I have people be like, why do you guys do what you do, like, all the time? And it's like, because I know what it's like to see other people who don't have that. And the fact that I do have that and have the ability to give back, like, why wouldn't we?
Mom's still working as a nurse, dad is a state farm agent, but it's here where the family's heart lies. And gratitude for the daughter and sister out front. It's served up through pizza.
I think life's better and we're happier because we've tried to make a difference in other people's lives.
Something that makes their why smile.
It makes me really happy, and it's nice to know I'm doing something good for the community. It's definitely my favorite part of the job.
So if you want to know more, I will tag a link to Pizza Pete along with this story on WGNTV.com. Aaron McElroy, WGN News.
John Hansen here, and we're continuing our conversation with some fine friends of Wheaton. We've got Bob Hutchinson, who is a Wheaton native, right, Bob?
I sure am.
All right, and now you're back, the CEO of Wheaton Bank and Trust, the mayor, Mr. Phil Cease, how are you doing, my friend? You feeling good?
Very good.
All right, we were just chatting about your hometown experience. Today is Bensenville, another great community. We did Wheaton just recently as well. And during the break, you said, I want to make sure that we hit on the idea of you don't tell businesses where they have to bank, of course. You let them do what they want to do. But you encourage, everyone does, the idea, and I'm sure they buy into it, of investing their money in a local bank, being part of this kind of local-to-local connection.
Yes, I think that's one of the things you're starting to see is more and more emphasis on being local. We want to shop local. We want to bank local. We want to do business local. We want to be able to walk to things. And so that I think that's really helped a community like Wheaton and other communities in the area.
Yeah, we want to know where our food is grown now, right? That wasn't a conversation maybe 15 or 20 years ago. Maybe we've moved a little way from all the big box stores, which still play a role, of course, and are important. And yes, Amazon is there. But I think that's what's great about Wheaton and other communities that have a downtown is that, let's say it's Christmas shopping time and you want to buy different gifts for different people. Well, guess what? It's a walk, right? It's a walk around the block and you're done.
Yes, and the other thing is, these are local businesses. You know, people come into the community, they buy a building, they run their business out of the community, mm-hmm. And that's really been a model that's really helped our downtown.
Yeah, for sure, it's gorgeous. If you haven't stopped by or if you haven't been to downtown Wheaton in a while, do it. I live in nearby Downers Grove. It was so great to see it. We've been back since, and it's just you guys did an incredible job there, Bob. Wanted to expand a little bit on the idea of these small business loans because people obviously are attuned to the interest rates. It is not as easy to borrow money or as cheap as it was maybe a couple of years ago or a year or so ago. Does that make your job harder to do, or are people kind of buy in? They get the idea that these interest rates are higher and they're just going to have to find a way to work through it, huh?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that these increase in interest rates has really been a shock to all borrowers. And we've seen, small business borrowers sort of decide whether or not they really should, use leverage in order to grow their business or not. But it's become the norm now, and they're building it into their business models. There are some resources that, businesses can use. Like, for example, I mentioned earlier the SBA or Small Business Administration loans, which offer some more flexible structures and some lower rates.
Is that a government-run loan?
Yeah.
It's administered through the bank.
It's administered through the bank. And our bank, as part of Wintrust, we're one of the largest SBA lenders in Illinois. And
how do they work? Is it just like any other loan, or are there some helpful things along the way for small businesses?
Yeah. So if, for example, your loan might be a little bit outside the box on normal what the bank might have an appetite for, an SBA loan can bridge the gap by offering some, when there's a collateral shortfall, they can make up a gap for that. They can offer lower down payments, which is really good for small businesses if they don't have it. And so, for example, if you want to buy out your partner or you want to buy a business, that's a great structured product for a buyout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, as we talked about, if it's side hustle to main hustle, it's not like you want to be putting up your house as collateral, right? I mean, I know that people get worried about that. Is that things that business owners have to do, though? Like, what are business owners bringing to the table in order to get some of these loans?
Well, typically we look at business assets, but oftentimes the business and the individual are sort of tied together, especially at the beginning when you're small. So you got to look at it globally from that perspective.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Mayor Cease, what do you love most about being the mayor of Wheaton? I always want to know. Mayor of, I don't want to say a small town, you're not a small town, but you're a growing community as always. What's it like walking around the streets? Everyone waving at you.
Well, a lot of people know you. You may not necessarily know them.
Right.
But they're always very nice and say hello, and we always appreciate that. But it is the people interaction. It's getting to know people in the community. This past week we've been involved with Congresswoman Ramirez. She had a art contest for display in the walkway in the Cannon Building in Washington, and a senior from Wheaton North High School won that competition. And it was a fascinating picture, painting, addressing AI. Those type of things that come up in the community are always fun.
I'm not trying to insert politics in this. In fact, what I'm saying is that local politics and local government is where people just kind of roll up their sleeves and get things done. And that must be something you love about doing it.
Yes. And there's a big distinction between local government and things that aren't local government. So if you look at the park district, the school district, the city, that's nonpartisan. That's basically seven people on a board getting things done.
Yes.
And you're able to get things done. You know, once you start getting into county board, state rep, you know, the whole situation changes. And I'm very happy working in local government.
Yeah, and I think that's just a good reminder for people that most of the people that work in government are local government officials just trying to make things better for the town. Mm-hmm. And don't let the national animosities mm-hmm. between parties permeate into the local governments.
And the things that are done locally touch the most people.
Yep.
You know, you kind of have this top-down hierarchy, you know, the feds, the state, maybe the county, but it's the local people that are in contact with the residents and on whom the residents rely.
Right. I wanted to ask you, Bob, what's it like being the CEO of Wheaton Bank and Trust? It's a lot of pressure, I imagine. You got a lot of people counting on you, and they probably wave at you too, right?
Well, they do, yeah. You know, and I try to keep my office, you know, 40 feet from the teller line so that people can come in and just tell me what they think.
Yeah,
and
right.
It is a little bit like being mayor sometimes, Mayor, but, you know.
You guys should have a text line like we do, so with instant feedback on everything you say or do.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
It's one thing about banking, though. It's sort of a noble cause from the standpoint. We talked about small businesses, but there's a lot that we do for individuals. For example, a guy who is failing in health, he's elderly, his daughter came in and she's now the caregiver. They came in and spent quite a bit of time at the bank trying to structure how she can take care of his accounts as he ages out. And, you know, we do transactions like that in our branches all the time that are something to help somebody or structure something to make their lives better on a personal basis.
I love that. That must be the most rewarding part of the gig. So Bob Hutchinson, CEO of Wheaton Bank and Trust, Mr. Mayor Phil Cease, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it, gentlemen.
Good to see
you. Thank you.